The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Vocal warm up today?
Me.
Ah.
You look like you're the dentist.
I actually need to book the dentist.
I do. Look, can we go together?
Yeah, because I fucking hate it.
So do I. I really hate the dentist. Also, I've got my hair up, so I've just come out the shower, and I've just realised that it's getting that long. I look like I've got curtains.
You do, actually. You look like the ones that go, like, up and out. You know, like, yeah. Back in the day when it was cool.
We're just going to have...
We'll do
wet down.
What about, like a slick rip look? Do you ever do that?
What, like...
All the way back and, like, neat and tidy?
Well, not really, because if I do a slick rick, then everyone can see how badly I'm receding and how big my forehead is, so...
It's funny you say that, because women... Well,
if you're about to tell me I've got a big forehead and I'm receding, I will hunt you down.
I was actually going to say, I don't think women notice that. I think it's a very much a men's thing, because that's what happens with age, right? Or whenever. But women don't notice that, so okay. It was actually a compliment.
All right, thank you.
I haven't noticed your receding hairline.
Okay, thank you. So you are listening to The Dating Show FUBAR Radio with Cece Coleman and my little bald self.
And our topic this week is actually judgment. And you would think that we prepped that because we're so good at starting the show. We didn't. That just naturally, au naturel, came out.
Yeah, we are just a couple of au naturel people. Our guest this week is Sophie Anderson, who you may know from the Cock Destroyers. Which, if you haven't heard of them, Google them. Sophie is a porn star.
I've got in my head, like, women that go around in a truck and, like, meet people and then destroy.
No, she's an icon. She's an icon, absolute icon, and you're going to love her.
Okay, well, this is great because it does fit in very well with the subject, right? Judgment.
100% it does. So we're also going to do Love the Way... I can't talk today. Love the Way You Lie. And, of course, listeners' questions and advice. But last week we had a story from a lady who told us what professions were good in bed, because she was a high-class escort, so she told us who was good in bed, who wasn't. Criminals aren't as good as what you think. Doctors are banging in bed. And since then, we've got Becky from Chigwell, who has got in touch after last week's episode about rape professions in bed. And this is what she said. Hi, Pete and Cece. It's a very good start. I thought the story about the escort rate and the different professions in bed was hilarious. I couldn't agree more about doctors knowing their way around the body, as my current boyfriend is one and he keeps me satisfied, let's say.
Ooh.
Good for you, Becky. I also wanted to add a couple more to the list. Suddenly, I don't think he's as excited about this. girlfriend's called up to tell us all about the people she slept with before. Firefighters really do live up to this stereotype and like to put on a show in the bedroom. I've never been picked up and flung around as much as I have by firemen.
Oh,
nice. Right. I've had experience with a couple of guys who work in IT, and despite assuming they might be a bit nerdy in the bedroom, they're surprisingly raunchy and always like to take their time with a lady.
Presumably,
yeah, so can I, because they work in IT, so they watch a lot of porn. one profession that has been disappointing is a tattoo artist. I assumed he would be good with his hands, but unfortunately that just wasn't the case. It was a one-night stand and I never got to see any of the tattoos he'd done. So maybe his handiwork is bad in all areas. Love the show so much, Becky. Becky, thank you for getting in touch. We love that.
Becky, very interesting.
Cece, I asked you last week and you weren't willing to share any good or bad professions.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you feel more happy to share this week?
What do you mean about the tattoo guy?
Well, no, I'm just saying, any professions that you have had experience with that are shit or good?
No, her list is interesting. I can't tick those boxes, to be fair, but I'm very interested in the firefighter. That's one.
Okay. What about milkman?
Have I ever slept with a milkman?
You ever slept with a milkman?
Not that I recall. However, not everybody tells you what their profession is, so okay. Maybe.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even get the name, do you?
Exactly. Have you ever slept with him?
I've never slept with a milkman, no. No.
Milkman, okay.
Milkman, milkwoman, no, I haven't.
Okay. What about, have you ever slept with a tree surgeon?
No, I haven't. But my mum's fellas are tree surgeons. Maybe we should ask her. Actually, let's not ask my mum.
No, let's not. No.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, I want anyone else who's listening, because I find this really interesting. Do you?
I do, but I think it's also quite obvious.
Do you think?
Yeah. Like, obviously the firefighter, obviously the doc, obviously the nerdy guy, in, you know, in the office or whatever. I just think it's quite, you could predict that. I like the ones that are like,
I'd like to know about some strange professions.
I'm sure you would.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm sure you would.
Not just a standard doctor, policeman, firefighter and all that. You know,
all right.
I want someone to come with me, you know. Do you know what they call people that work in Subway?
Like the shops, the food shops.
Subway. Yeah. No. They're called sandwich artists.
So what a lovely title for a job.
I'd like to know if sandwich artists are good at, you know, putting meat in buns, whatever.
Lion
tamer. So if anyone knows any weird professions like that, I want to know if they're good in bed.
Seeing as our guest is a porn star, what do you think about a porn star? Do you think they'd be good in bed? Oh, dear.
I have had a little bit of experience porn stars. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, no, not so much.
Interesting.
Surprisingly. And I'll tell you why. Because they do it for a job. So I just think it... Do you know what? I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay. Don't sit yourself up too much that you put yourself out of something this evening. So, can you teach me? Can you teach me a word? Let's teach me a word.
It is that time now for this week's education. This is Pete's Dating Sex Book. Cece, are you ready for this?
I'm so fucking ready. I can't tell you.
Last week we had the rusty trombone, and then I made up a new one, the rusty keyboard. this week,
beautiful sight.
This week your phrase is sexism.
Oh, is it where you get really like do things like cut each other with knives in the bedroom, or
what? Who thinks of them things, Cece?
I don't. Well, maybe sexisms. People that are into like exorcism, sexism. Is it people that like to like...
Explain to me exorcism first, because I want to know where this knife thing comes from, because I don't remember Anthony Hopkins or anyone, because he's done a few films about exorcism, cutting anyone with a knife.
It must be a conversation I had as of recent, because it just popped into my head. I don't know where that one came from. You know what my brain works like? It's all over the place. So, you know, it's the first thing that comes to my brain. That was it. Clearly I'm wrong. You're going to educate me. Tell me.
Get ready for this. Sexism. It's having sex with a new partner in order to remove the demon of guilt and the emotional baggage left after a horrible previous relationship. So it's basically a rebound.
A rebound, right, okay.
Effectively, it's a rebound. So after you've had a terrible relationship and you've got that demon guilt of something ending terribly and whatever, you fuck your way through it in a sexism.
Wow. I don't know which word I prefer. Rebound's quite an... it's not so fun. Sexism, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I've had sexisms. Have you?
Definitely.
100%. I think most people do.
Yeah. I get it. I understand it. It is what it is, right?
After last week's real low level that I went to with the rusty keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I've just gone in this week with something actually genuinely educational that I think people can use.
Thank you. And that's I think our listeners feel the same. Thankful that they now understand. They can use the word of rebound sexism.
Yes. So good luck, everyone, with your sexisms.
Good luck with your sexisms. Should we do some weird and wonderful dating news?
Weird and wonderful dating news.
Weird and more weird.
If you sing, the intro to Weird and Wonderful Dating News for me.
Okay. The title of what I'm
just
about.
Just say, next up is the weird and wonderful dating news.
In a song.
It's in musical form.
Okay, this is my mic. Next up is the weird and wonderful dating news.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
I'm just going to say, I saw Leanne Havas in concert at the weekend. And
who the dick fuck is Leanne Havas?
Oh, fuck off. You don't know who she is?
No idea.
Oh, incredible salsa. Incredible, incredible, incredible. And I feel like what I just presented then was very much on her level.
It touched me in places I never thought I could be touched.
Touch me in the morning.
And last thing at night. Keep my body moving.
Yeah. You know it feels right.
Sorry, everyone.
I like that song. Right.
It's a great song. I don't know where that come from. I haven't heard it for fucking years. But do you know what we're going to do? Because Cece and I are going out soon, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And our wonderful producer, Georgia, we're all going to sing that.
Let's sing it. Let's definitely do that.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
All right, then.
I can't wait. Weird and Wonderful Date News. Please do.
So, Weird and Wonderful Date News. A wedding guest astounded after receiving a no-show invoice from Petty Bride. They were charged £175 for two seats that were left vacant at the reception. In the notes section, it said, the invoice is being sent to you because you confirmed seats at a wedding reception during the final headcount. The amount above is the cost of your individual seats. Because you didn't give us, because you didn't call or give us a proper notice that you wouldn't be in attendance, this is the amount that you owe us. You can pay via Zelle or PayPal. Please reach out to us and let us know which method of payment works for you best. Thank you. Is that petty? Or is that... What do you think?
Yes, fuck me, that is petty. But I went to a wedding the other week, and if you say you're going to be somewhere, then you be there.
Yeah.
So as much as that is petty, and it's like, I mean, it's quite funny, but as petty as that is... You should turn up, especially for a wedding. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've gone so far in advance.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? You make the effort to go. If you say you're going to be there, then be there. So, dickheads for not turning up, but also bride, yeah, that is petty.
It's fucking petty, but I think maybe just to have a conversation rather than, like, send a bill. Because, you know, £175 is a lot of money, but... It is. She's trying to make a point, isn't she, more than anything? Just have an adult conversation. Just say you're an arsehole. You've upset me.
Yeah, she's very pissed off, isn't she?
Very angry.
I would like to know if they actually pay it.
I'd also like to know, like, when she's on her honeymoon, is this really bothering her that much? Is she there going, fuck them for not coming? Or is she just not enjoying the day, the big, beautiful moment, the experience that she's entered into, you know? It's like, it's weird. You win some, you lose some. You know, pick your battles.
Yeah, I just don't understand people's thinking sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe she doesn't have...
That's too short for that kind of petty shit.
Well, I just think at a wedding, your mind's kind of sidetracked with, like, the big event. So it would be, it's interesting that you would just think, oh, I'm so fucking angry about those people that didn't turn up.
And also, we don't know why they didn't turn up. Now... It could be they just couldn't be bothered. They could have had an accident. Something might happen. You don't know. You don't know why they didn't turn up. So they evidently haven't spoken. So she doesn't know why they didn't turn up. There could be a genuine reason for it. So the next story, I mean, Cece.
I read the first line. I'm not even going to read the rest because the name that was mentioned, I can't. So I'm going to let you tell me all. This is fresh to the ears.
The headline. Man finds love with ashtray he took home from a nightclub. Now, you may think that's weird, guys, until you find out who that man is. Kazakhstani muscle man and friend of the show, Yuri Toliko, who married a sex doll last year, claims he is now madly in love with an ashtray and plans to give it an artificial vagina. The ashtray isn't a small one that you have on tables, but instead the size of a postbox that would stand in a smoking area outside. He said he was captivated by the ashtray in a club. I wanted to touch it again, smell it. I love its brutal scent. I like the touch of sharp metal on my skin. It excites me. So I think you can understand what attracts me to this ashtray. Yuri, I love you, but I don't understand. He added, I also like that it has a story. It's not new.
Gotcha.
It has served many people and continues to serve them. Yuri's hoping that the club will let him take it home at night so that he can be alone with it. Now, if this is the first time you've listened to the dating show, or you didn't catch our previous encounters with Yuri, Yuri is a friend of the show.
He is.
Someone who is just, he's the gift that keeps on giving. we've interviewed Yuri, we've spoken about Yuri numerous times. This is strange even for Yuri.
So listen, in a weird way, I've understood Yuri. I feel like, you know, I understand him, where he's coming from with, you know, fucking certain objects. But this one, I can't get my head around. This for me is just like, come on, Yuri. Is a chicken, a doll, and whatever else not enough? You know, an ashtray. How does he fuck an ashtray?
Well, because he plans to give it an artificial vagina. So he plans to attack.
Oh, so at the moment it's just like lust.
Yeah, the minute it's just lust, and he's physically not able to shag the ashtray.
Especially if it's along the side of it. And
yeah, I imagine he just wanks. Well, he hasn't had a chance to be alone with it yet. So at the minute he's just sort of in the courting.
I don't think being alone is the problem here. I think he actually enjoys an audience.
I imagine in a nightclub, it depends what sort of nightclub.
Yeah.
But at the minute, yeah, I think they're just in kind of the dating stage. I don't think
it is just lust.
Yeah, he's not yet to have fun with the ashtray. I wonder what sort of ashtray it is. I sort of know which ones he means, if it's one of them kind of standing ones that looks a little bit like a bin. But I'm just wondering, I wouldn't want to wipe my cock across it, because they generally have them sort of metal holes and you could catch bits on that and it could be quite painful.
Well, he did say, do you remember, he gave us a beautiful interview and he said he liked receiving pain at five years old.
He does, yeah, he likes receiving pain. There was a slight confusion at the time.
He thought it was pain.
Yeah, it's still one of our favorite
at 5 years old.
One of our favorite videos ever. Also, I would admit I do smoke.
Oh, so something else then. Okay.
No. I've never thought of fucking an ashtray, but I do smoke. And Cece, hopefully you can agree with this. Smoking is not a good thing to do, but I always try and smell good anyway. I've always got chewing gum and I always overspray everything because I hate the smell of stale smoke. Mm-hmm. He likes the brutal smell, smell of an ashtray. Yeah. And I'm a smoker, but the smell of an ashtray, no.
Awful.
Disgusting.
Awful.
Yeah, it'd be like shagging Doc Cotton, because I imagine she smells like an ashtray.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yuri never fails to surprise, does he? He really doesn't.
Do you know what? I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by Yuri at all anymore. But this is strange.
Because nothing else that he's done was he? Yeah, no.
I mean, not that. No, I can't even say that. I can't even say some of them you can sort of.
No, I do. Some of them I do sort of get.
The doll I could get. When we moved on to the chicken meat and the half chicken, half doll, he kind of lost me.
Yeah.
Now that he's ashtray, he's completely.
It's just so hard. It's just such a, like.
He is hard looking at. Oh, the ashtray.
The ashtray.
Sorry.
But
he does say he likes the touch of sharp metal on his skin. So, you know, imagine it being sort of sharp, cold metal, you know, just.
Which is literally everything that would turn me off. But right, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously for Yuri, it's a different, you know, sharp, cold metal just being sort of rubbed across his helmet seems to be something that he would enjoy. So on that note, I think we should move on to our...
Wow, judgment. We just judged him.
And which is perfect, really, isn't it? People judge people for all sorts of different things. And this week's topic is judgment.
Which covers judgment. A lot of areas, I think. I think judgment, it comes... like it's. There's so many reasons why people do judge. Yeah. And a lot of it, unfortunately, they say, you know, when you're judging someone, you feel like that about yourself. It's like when you say to someone, you know, you're an arsehole, it's because you feel like that about you. So without... It's such a big subject, and I've noticed judges throughout all of my life. I come from a little town, Oxford, which is very, very different to London. So when I go back to Oxford, there is a bit of there's a difference to it, because the people there they can't understand my world. They can't understand the certain things that I've done. So there feels like there is quite a lot of judgment. I think it depends how you receive that judgment, if you let that in and let it affect you, or you understand that actually it's not personal, it's just where they're at and where they're at in their life. You must have, I mean, let's put it out there, right? You with tattoos, the job you have, the stories that are made up in the press about you, you must get judged consistently.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? And does it ever bother you?
Do you know what? It doesn't really bother me. I think it bothers people around me that no, I'm not. Well, I'm not sometimes what people think I am. I mean, I remember, you know, even now, if I go into really nice shops, you know, let's say you go to jewelry shops, I'll get followed around by a security guard.
Oh, really?
100%. Yeah. 100%. If I've got tattoos and all that sort of stuff. And I remember years and years ago going into a car garage and sitting in a car. I was 21. Was I 21? 21 at the time, and just sitting in a car in a showroom, being like, "Oh no, this really lovely car." And I was actually looking for a new car, and the guy asked me to get out of the car, and asked me to leave the showroom. I had shorts, like a t-shirt on, and that, and obviously my tattoos and all that sort of stuff. And at the time, I had a shaved head, and I went in the week later and bought the car just to piss him off. But because purely, just thought, well, you know,
pretty woman moment.
Yeah, literally. And he was just like, well, sure, you can't. It wasn't like an overly expensive car, but it's not the point. It just thought, well, you know, you can't afford to buy that, so, you know, please get out of the fucking car. Mm-hmm. You just never know, do you? You never know what people's background is. But also, it's the same, you know, when it comes to dating and that, I haven't got the, you know, the most squeaky clean past. But a lot of what people read isn't necessarily true. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it's out there, then, you know, people will just assume it's true. And mm-hmm. a lot of the time you have that in the back of your head, regardless of whether someone tells you it's not true, it still leaves an impression, whether it be on your subconscious or conscious, of that person. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the same with you. Like I said to you, like I judged you a little bit before having done the show and spending so much time with you. Based on the fact that you are a lot more well-spoken than I am, I assumed you were going to be super brainy and look down on me because, you know, I'm from the gar. And as it turns out, you are also from the gar. No, but you know what I mean? So yeah. You do judge people. You can judge people in a good and a bad way. It's not always negative judging of people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of time, like you say, people do judge people based on how they feel about themselves. So mm-hmm. my judgment of you is based on how I felt about myself, which is, oh God, she's going to think I'm a nightmare. She's going to think I'm thick as shit. Mm. She's going to think this. She's going to think this. Because that's how I probably felt about myself.
That time.
Make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely. Bang on. Do you know what? You've just fucking nailed it. That is exactly it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think jobs, we do, you know, bits of TV and whatever else. So there is a judgment that people in TV, you know, we've got a really easy life and work's not hard. And, you know, we do get to do amazing things. And sometimes mm-hmm. we do get paid to do things that you're like, how the fuck am I so lucky to get paid for doing things like that? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that we don't work for it. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that annoys me about being judged is not about the way I look or the whole dating thing. It's when people think I'm thick, when people think
yeah.
And I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I ain't thick.
No, you're not at all.
And I think whenever you're on TV or whatever else, people just assume, you know, people might assume that you're just a waitress.
This is probably something I've had to
just a waitress
for years.
And there's nothing wrong with being a waitress, but you do so much more than that. But people just don't. I don't know what it is. Even what I've just said, they're just a waitress.
I used to have a complex about it massively because I came from a job, you know, in the city, and I liked that job because it made me feel important. So that's probably the only reason why I got it. I went in with no GCSEs, no, you know, nothing at all. And I basically wanted to feed my ego. So I get this job. Then I go and travel abroad. Anyway, come back. And then I started waitressing. And I couldn't get my head around going from like wearing a suit every day to then serving food.
Yeah.
But I felt it was because of how I felt about myself. I felt like I had gone backwards rather than forwards. And I remember seeing someone who I used to work with in the bank, and I served him one day, and he sort of looked up and he went, "Oh my God, you work here." Mm. And I just thought, I already feel that way, and you've already made me feel that way. And then every single day, you know, the more TV I did, the more people go, "Oh my God, but you're the girl from the TV. Why are you working here?" And I think, I don't think you quite understand that TV, like, sometimes we film twice a year. Like, yeah. There are fillers. You do need jobs. But when you have a really good support system and people around you that make you feel like it's okay to be whoever you want to be, that's the only reason or a way I got through it was working with like-minded people that actually don't give a shit and understand, you know, we all need the either the filler job or we need to do something to get to somewhere else. And the judgment really comes from you. It came from me. Your judgment came from yourself. You know, it's really how you feel about yourself. If we all gave ourselves enough self-worth and self-love, then judgment would just be like tennis. It would just bat it off. Ping, ping, you know, like that. That's your problem, not mine. Like, I'm comfortable in my own skin.
And I think also, even talking about things like waitressing or whatever else, instantly I think people judge that as it just being a filler job. When, yeah. You know, and you know what, and I'll admit that that was probably something that I used to think until, weirdly enough, I met Fred. And Fred speaks so highly and talks about how he is a cripple, but that I think stereotypically, that's the way people see certain jobs. Yeah. It's the way people see, you know, I've got friends that are dancers, or, you know, we've got Sophie coming on, who's a porn star. And instantly, mm-hmm. people are going to think, well, you know, she just fucks for a living then. And stereotypically, mm-hmm. then they just put people down based on that. And I think that's a judgment thing that everyone does. And that's a society problem.
100%.
It's a society thing. You instantly look at people and think, well, you know, if that's all they do, they must be this, they must be that, they must be this. And we all judge. Everyone judges, whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally, you do. And sometimes you don't realize you're doing it. And that's because of that's what society makes us believe. It's the same as, you know, both of us are over 30. We're both still single. We're both whatever else. I went to a wedding the other week on a table with people who are all married, this, that, and the other. The instant thing is, oh God, when are you going to settle? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? As if my life is a load of shit because I'm not settled down at 30, married and got kids because society says that's what you should do. Yeah. So instantly I'm judged as being, oh, you're just going to do that for the rest of your life. You're just going to be a playboy for the rest of your life. You're just going to be going there. Well, if that's what I want to fucking do, then that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Instantly people judge you as not having your shit together, and there must be something wrong with you to still be doing that.
Pete, the biggest question I get asked is, why are you still single?
Yeah.
You're perfect. Or why are you still single?
Must be something wrong with you.
Exactly. Why can that not be a choice? Yeah. Why is it not? Because actually I haven't chosen to be in that space. Maybe I'm happy where I'm at. It's a judgment. Why are you single is a judgment question.
But even people judging people based on money. So money equals success. Does it fuck?
No. Does it fuck?
Absolute rubbish. But you instantly see someone, or money equals happiness. Does it fuck?
No. Rubbish.
But people see that and they'll whatever you haven't got, people will look at other people, or whatever you don't do, look at other people and judge them based on that. But that is, as we were saying earlier on, genuinely, and this is what I think judgment comes from, a reflection of how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got money, you see people, they must be really happy. Why must they? Mm-mm. They've got loads of money. They must be really successful. Why is that success?
It's all about how you feel about you. It's, you know, especially the money thing. If you're lacking with money and then you feel that way, someone that has got money, you're going to go, jealous judgment. Oh, look at them living their best life. Well,
exactly.
Happiness is what I think we should all be fucking striving for. Do you ever hear him go, I'm so jealous because they're so happy? You know,
one thing in life that I strive to get, and the one thing that I think equals success, is peace of mind. Peace of mind. That's exactly where I want to be. And without that, I don't think you've got fuck all. So let's get Sophie Anderson on. Sophie is a porn star, a model, and an internet personality / icon. She's been a performer since 2017 and found internet fame in October 2018 when she and fellow porn star Rebecca Moore branded themselves the Cock Destroyers. Shall we get her on?
Yes.
Sophie, first of all, I absolutely love your T-shirt.
Your T-shirt is everything.
You know what? Fuck it. But, well, I'll tell you what. Were you looking at these big tits, babes? Or were you actually looking at...
I'll be honest with you. I was, yeah.
Yeah. And me. It's like, hey.
I love that.
See what we see in it.
Sophie, right. Before we get on to this week's topic, we're going to ask you some quick fire questions, which I've got a feeling are going to be pretty fucking tame for you. Right. Do you want to start us off?
Yes.
How many cocks do I have a day?
I wish that was a question. I might actually just change this whole thing.
These are very mild, all right? So we might have to throw in a few new ones just specifically for you, babe.
Oh, I love it. A bit mild, like lemon and herb chicken from Nando's.
Exactly. Exactly. There's no extra spicy here yet.
No.
You're bringing a spice for all of us, babe.
Oh, yeah, babe. Do you know what? I didn't know whether to sit down or stand.
I would like you to sit down. I'll tell you
really?
Why. Because you're making me fucking dizzy.
Oh, my God. But Dave's right. I haven't come yet today, right? So I'm just like, I got my punching bags and that.
I got
my punching bag because I haven't come yet this morning. So I'm
Why? I don't get it. Why the punching bag? Because you haven't come.
Release frustration.
Because of frustration. Yeah, babe, you know.
Don't worry. That's why I'm so calm, because I've already knocked one out this morning.
Fucking serious. Usually I've done about four by now.
Do you know what we're going to do after all of that? We're just going to fuck off the quick fire question.
Yeah, let's
I don't see the point. First, all right, the only thing I want to know, are you single or taken?
I am taken, babe.
Taken,
wow.
Right.
Do you know what happened?
But you're going to tell us.
And I met someone on porn set called Damien. Yes. And so this is why we started our fuck it range, because we're like, fuck it! But yeah, I met someone and he's great and I can still fuck and it's just fucking brilliant. That's what I wanted. And we go and see other girls. Like we fucked on the weekend with another girl. We see trans women. We have a fucking great time. He sees we're going to have fun with gay guys and I film. It's fucking brilliant. It's what I've always wanted. So
how long has this been going? How long ago did you meet?
8 months ago on a porn set.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Well, I go onto a porn set and I'm quite cold. I'm quite like, look, I'm here to fuck.
It's probably because you're naked. You should put a jumper on. Thank you for laughing at that dad joke.
But usually they all rise up. So I'm like, the fucking nipples are out. And I'm like, oh, fuck it.
Fuck it. Love it. Right.
I usually go onto a set like quite calm, like I'm here to fuck. I'm gonna fuck the shit out of you to get what I want. Mm-hmm. So I come on set and right, and I'm there and I'm like, so we do this like custom video for one of my OnlyFans, and he's like, oh, I'll do it, and I was like, yeah, come on then. Anyway, we start kissing. I'm like, oh. This is a bit all right, you know. This is a bit like, this isn't how it was before, just like fucking getting what I want. So
do you know what? Before we get onto our topic, I just want to ask you something then about that. So bear in mind that you have sex with lots of different people, part of your job, and because you enjoy doing it, whatever it may be. How do you know the difference between kissing someone, like you just said, you started kissing, you felt something different.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the difference? What did you feel differently to what you do with everyone else?
I really felt something.
What did you feel though? How can you? But surely you're going to feel that regularly anyway if someone's just good at fucking. So what made you want to be with that person? Because it must have been more than sex. It must have been an emotional thing to that as well.
Yeah, that's what happened actually. Yeah, it was definitely emotional. Well, you know, babe, you know when you just like today, I just need to fuck, yeah?
Yes.
I just need to fuck. But then, like, when I'm with Damien, it's like, we have our little time, but we share, like, we go and see all different people. And I suppose, you know, I wasn't ready for it. I've been 14 years without being in a relationship because I just didn't want it. And I never had that feeling. So I'll go on to set or I'll go and see someone. And yeah, it feels good. But you don't have, what happened was, and I never felt this before, was a connection from my brain to my heart kind of thing and all down there. I'm very much giving. So I like to give. So I like to please and I'm quite submissive. You wouldn't think it, but I am a switch. But I'm quite submissive. I'm a sex addict and I don't find that restricting. And it's just a whole part of my life. I get what I want. So like I'm a great mum, but then I've got to have my time as well. Why not? Fucking make money and have great sex.
Sophie, before you carry on, right?
Yeah.
So, because I feel like we're not going to get a word in edgeways because...
I'm sorry.
So the topic of this show is judgment. So the point I was getting with you and Damien. So previously, because of your profession and because of what you do and because you're so hyper and charismatic and you're like,
totally.
So presumably meeting someone or being in a relationship or whatever else has been a nightmare before, because people judge you based on, for example, your fucking tits or the fuck it t-shirt or the way you talk or your profession.
Sure.
So how hard is it for you to actually meet someone like Damien then, who actually accepts all of that and just accepts you for being you without judging you based on what you do, the way you look, all that sort of stuff? Because presumably throughout your life, everyone's just judged you based on the cop destroyers, this, that, and the other. So trying to meet a guy you like, they'd be like, well, listen, I'm happy to fuck you, but I don't want...
Oh, so true. I mean, basically, I only have to walk down the road, like, and then it's a, oh, look at that slag.
Yeah.
Look at that slag. But you know what? I use those things as, I see them as positives, because I fucking know who I am. I know I'm a fucking sexual fucking woman who fucking loves sex, and I fucking love it. And do you know what? Call me a slag. Call me a slut. I absolutely love it.
But Sophie, has it ever hurt you when people have said things? Now that you've embraced that, and presumably something, when it probably first happened, I mean, was it something that used to hurt you? And then you thought, no, fuck it, I'm going to embrace this. Do you know what I mean?
Fuck it.
Called them sort of things.
No, do you know, actually, that is so funny you say that. So, it never hurts me. What I do for a living, how fucking sexual I am, you know, I love it. But what does hurt me is when people say the way I look. Because actually, I'm very insecure. Very, very insecure. Like, even from when I was anorexic, when I was very, very young, and when my mum left. So basically, all those feelings of my insecurities are in my actual body. So that's what I really love. Getting dressed up, I really love.
It makes you feel sexy.
Yes.
It sounds like you've got a good grasp of who you are now.
Yes.
But presumably that's taken some time to get to the point now where you are like, fuck it. But as much as people will judge you, do you then judge the people like they're a bit more prudish who are open?
No.
Are you judging them for being boring or...
No, because do you know what?
So you can understand why people might think differently to you. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and do you know what, babes? I totally respect that. Totally respect that. At the end of the day, we are all different and wonderful, and that's the main thing. Like, I am who I am, but it doesn't mean, you know, that they're, you know, sexual as I am, or, you know, or, but I, do you know what I think with me as well is I spent so much of my, like, early childhood and my teenage years very restricted, hating myself, hating my sexuality. You know, there's all this thing about being at school. I mean, I'm 33 now, but there's all this thing about being at school and you had to be straight. And when I came out, it was a fucking terrible experience. And I think being so hating myself so much then for my sexuality and everything, based honestly, as soon as I turned 30, and also the thing was, because of being I'm in the sex industry and an escort for so many years and a prostitute when I first started out when I was 16, the fact is I had to hide my job away. I was ashamed and everything. Then I turned 30 and actually 29, nearly 30, and that's when I've done porn for 3 years. And you know what, I was like, fuck, I turned 30 and I was like, I am not hiding this anymore. And it's helped me. It really has with
my own. You feel more liberated and free to just be who you want to be.
And that's exactly it. I want to do what I want to do, be who I want to be, and I will say what I want to say. But what I want to know, and what I do ask couples is, because I've been experiences before where it's like people can't be who they want to be. I mean, and that's another reason why as well, because I'm not escorting at the moment, but, you know, for guys coming to see me, it's because they don't have that communication and they can't be who they want to be at home. Same as women who have come to see me, same as trans women, trans men who's come to see me. they can't always come out to their partner and say and really communicate. And all I want to do is go, babe, if you want this tonight, then I'm here, you know? And don't worry about it. Have a fucking crack. You only get one life.
Literally, have a crack.
Oh, sorry.
So yeah. Can I ask you, so you know you said when you hit sort of 29, 30 is when you changed, you started doing porn.
Yeah.
And that's when you started accepting and just enjoying it more and just taking it for what it is. So those years, because you said when you were 16, you started. So from 16
in massage
to 29,
parlors. Yeah.
What was the mindset then? If you weren't entirely accepting yourself, were you doing something that you just weren't sure about? Were you concerned that people were judging you? Like where were you at then?
Do you know what though? Because I've always, being honest with you, the first time I had sex, I was 10. And that was with a neighbour. And I knew then that it was something inside me. I was very, just this frustration, and then wanting to orgasm all the time. And it's still quite the same now. Like I get up and just have my release so I can think straight. And,
so we all know what you're going to do straight after this show then.
You know, don't you, babe? You know. But then going back to what we're saying before, I've always been very, very wanting to orgasm, wanting to please, very, like I said, it's very sexual. And the reason was when I then started working in parlours was actually going out on the weekend. How funny is that? I was shagging anyway. You know, like Facebook Messenger back in the day.
Back in the day, what, you used to get a few pokes, did you?
Yeah, hey.
Sorry, that was a really obvious joke, that one, wasn't it?
Brilliant. I was shagging anyway. So why not make a bit of money? So I started out in the parlours, which was actually a fucking eye-opener because it was really hard. You had people mug you, beat you up. So that side of things wasn't great. I will be honest, like the managers, they take all your money for the first two punters. They really didn't give a shit. And then I found adult work then. One of my friends from there then put me onto adult work, which is like escorting kind of site. So I was on there and then I was working. But and do you know what? And that's one thing as well, is I'm very, obviously, as you know, very, very pro sex work. I don't want anyone to feel the way that I felt. And I think also because of having a child on my own, my family weren't ever really close with anyway. So it was kind of like going up to school and would people be shamed for,
That's one thing, sorry. Obviously, people are going to judge you based on, what you're wearing, what you do for a living, all that sort of stuff. So being a mum as well, presumably that's probably a lot harder. If people judge you based on being potentially like a bad mum because you talk or you're so open about sex and what you do.
There you go.
I bet that is probably quite difficult. And that's probably something that hurts because presumably people don't see
more,
what you're like with
more
your kids.
Than anything.
You know what I mean? That's more. Probably the thing because they're judging you based on how you are as a parent as opposed to what you do for a living. You have got it.
And that's the thing. And, my son's nearly 15 now. And also I've got...
Are you very open with your son? So he knows... Yeah, great.
Yeah. I was from when he was 10. And actually going into secondary school and everything like that. I mean, the thing is as well is I don't ever go up to school. So that's one thing that I really, really miss out on. I take him up there.
Why don't you go up there?
Because I don't want to hurt my son.
Yeah, okay. Because presumably the judgment to, I mean, from his friends or other parents.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go straight up there, babe. I'd be like, this is me, but this isn't about me. Putting my son first, this is not about me then. This is about how my son's feeling,
Does he ever get any backlash at school? Do people, if his friends seen you, like, does he get...
No,
like...
because what I do, I mean, this is one thing I do want to change, is the fact that especially men and women in the industry or trans women or trans men who have children, that is definitely definitely one thing I want to change, that we should still feel that we can go up to our children's school and still be who we want to be. Mm-hmm. I know my son's very proud of me, but one thing is as well, we don't have anyone come back to the flat. None of his friends, he'll go out to them. It's not that he's ashamed, it's just because he knows they won't get it.
Yeah.
Or it'll be, oh yeah, she's poor, and you know, it's a lot of problems.
Definitely.
And for him, not for me. So mm-hmm. he's very proud of me, but I do understand he's a teenager, you know. Yeah. he's coming to that time as well where he's looking at porn, so that's why I've always made mm-hmm. it that he knows my porn name, so he doesn't go on there or anything like that. And I think that's very important mm-hmm. to be totally open.
So despite the fact that you're obviously liberated now and you do what you want to do and you kind of thought fuck it despite being judged previously, you obviously still feel judgment based on the fact that, you know, your son potentially is still part of it. So is part of what you do and part of you being so open and everything else a way of combating people to say you shouldn't fucking judge people and everyone should just be themselves? So is that kind of the message that the cop destroyers and what you do?
Yeah, you got it.
Kind of your message is fuck it, you shouldn't judge people because we're all unique and brilliant in our own way.
And how fucking brilliant is that? And you knock the nail on the head is the fact that we're all unique, and it doesn't matter what gender you are, doesn't matter what race you are, what sexuality, what sexual preferences you have, just be fucking you and fuck it. And do you know what? Fuck everyone
for the judgment.
You know, fuck everyone for the judgment. And like you said, I don't judge anyone who lives differently to how I am, because that's them. And mm-hmm. but you know what? The only thing I think is as well is, and I've met a lot of people, not just in the industry but in normal life, is the fact that some people are restricted. And are kind of like living a life that they really don't want to lead. And you have to change that. And you know, even if it means that you've got to leave, let's say, loved ones behind. You know, I was only talking to someone the other day, and he's in a marriage and with a woman. And but he's fallen in love with another man. And he's gay, and he has to live this separate life, and it must be so fucking tiring.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking tiring. Instead of just being out there and going, do you know what? I am who I am, and I don't give a fuck what you think. To him who's, what is he going to do? He said, I've got children, and I totally understand that. And do you know what? I really don't judge anyone, and and more so, I want to help.
Yeah.
And this is another thing as well, is how many restrictions there are on people who are in porn, people, in fact, in people who openly love sex, and people who are in the sex industry, that we don't get enough opportunity. It's like you're put in this little box. And it's like, yeah, and it's like, oh, you got to stay in there. You can't do anything mainstream. You can't do, you know, nothing like that. In fact, I must say that Damien today, he's on set for a film, a war film, and it's so great because obviously he's in the porn industry and they know his Instagram, and Warden know his Instagram, but he's on set today doing mainstream, and that is something that I've always pushed myself to do, but haven't been given the opportunity. So how great is this that I've met someone in the porn industry, and I'm pushing him as well as myself to do more mainstream stuff. And why the fuck not?
Yeah,
we enjoy sex, and we, you know, but that is another judgment. There was something that there's quite a few things that have come up for me, and then as soon as they found out I do porn or anything, not particularly on the way I look, but because I do porn, I'm openly about the I'm very open about the sex industry, and I've escorted, they're like, no, sorry, won't give you a second chance. And but I am gonna keep on fighting for this. I'm gonna keep on fucking going.
Well, listen, normally, Sophie, we play a game called Love the Way You Lie, but because you don't shut up, we haven't got time we haven't got time to do it. But we have loved having you on. And do you know
Thank
what?
Thank you.
I'm all about fuck it. I love that message.
Yeah,
fuck amazing. Do what you want to do, be who you want to be and say what you want to say, and fuck it.
There we go, fuck it. Sophie, thank you so much for your time. We've loved
having
you.
Thank you.
I love you so much, and I really, really appreciate you so, so much. And
don't be silly.
I'm going to go and have a fucking girly wank, babe.
You go enjoy your girly wank, babe.
Yeah, I love you.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, Sophie was a ball of energy.
Balls of energy.
I am alive now. I am alive and kicking. Yeah. Who needs a coffee when you've got Sophie?
I know. For Friday night, it's going to go wild tonight.
So normally we play Love the Way You Lie, but Sophie, bless her, had a lot to say. So we don't have time for Love the Way You Lie, but we enjoyed everything she said. And the message is clear. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Should we do one of our favourite sections, our listeners' questions and stories?
I think we should. Can you do a musical interlude to this as well?
I can. So this one is advice. So this is, ready for it? It is dating advice from David in Winchester.
Winchester, yeah. Winchester, 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 Winchester.
I've met a girl that I really, really, really like. The only problem is she's a lesbian. Now, that's not the biggest problem because we flirt a lot and we have done certain things in the bedroom. The problem is I don't know if she's still a lesbian or whether I've turned her. Please advise as what you would do.
Hey, I feel like I'm going to let you answer this one. This feels a bit, it's hard for me to answer that, in fact, isn't it? Pete, thoughts?
Right. Lesbian is a term that doesn't define someone.
I love how you've gone all like diplomatic on this one. Right, go on.
Well, it's a term that doesn't define someone. She may have had relationships with women in the past and assume that she's a lesbian, but if she's done bits in the bedroom and you're quite flirty, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's a lesbian. She could be bisexual, it could be anything. It could just be something to do with you, my friend. So I don't think it really matters if she says she's a lesbian. And I don't think it really matters that, you know, it almost like what Sophie said, that she's in that box of being a lesbian. If you enjoy being around each other and you like each other, then, you know, crack on. I don't think it's something that you need to kind of worry about. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of my perception of it. Someone says they are something doesn't mean that, you know, they are. It's just their experiences have led them to believe that. But if she's met someone like you and she enjoys being around you and you have got that sexual chemistry or whatever else, then maybe she's not a lesbian.
Did he say that? Hey, George, can you play that one again? Because I think I missed the start about the bedroom thing.
Dear Pete and Cece, who I love so much, I think you guys have really, really, really good chemistry. I've met a girl that I really, really, really like. She's a lesbian.
That's fucking
now,
Sam Thompson.
That's not the biggest problem flirt a lot and we have done certain things in the bedroom. The problem is I don't know if she's still a lesbian or whether I've turned her. Please advise as what you would do. P.S. Love you both so much, Cece and Phil.
Do you recognise that voice, Pete?
That's Sam fucking Thompson. That's Sam Thompson. I really tried to answer that as well with like proper advice and I didn't realise it was Sam fucking Thompson.
So for our listeners that don't know, we had Sam on AAA, another FUBAR show. He came on with his girlfriend. They had a little chat and we just thought we'd get him to leave Pete a little message. Firstly, I've got questions. Phil, is this a secret thing that you two, what was the Phil thing at the back, at the end?
Sam calls me Phil sometimes because he thinks I don't sound like a Pete. So he goes, Sam's impression of me is always, oh, it's Phil Wicks, you know, well, just a bit of a geezer. That's how Sam describes me. And he thinks Phil suits me better than Pete. So he calls me Phil.
So then my second question is, it's a very interesting story that he's come. Is this a completely fabricated story or is he actually, do you think he's genuinely concerned? Is he talking about you?
No idea who he's talking about. Absolutely no idea.
Oh,
but
so just made a really good story.
I think he's just made up a story, but because it's certainly not something I would worry about.
At what point what do you mean you wouldn't worry about?
Well, listen, if someone, regardless of what someone says there, it doesn't really make a difference if you have a connection with someone, does it?
Oh, look at you and your diplomatic answers. Look at this guy.
So how did I not? Was that the same clip?
No.
That we played
It was the same clip, but we
did you do
voice distortion on it?
because I was thinking, how the fuck have I not fucking worked out that that's Sam?
Well, I thought you might have picked up, because usually we're quite on the voices, you know, either nice voice. Do you not think that the original David sounded a little bit just
yeah, but I didn't want
weird
to be fucking rude and judging.
Seems the topic is judgment.
Yeah, it seems the topic is judgment, and go, what the fuck is wrong with David?
Oh, what point did you realise that was Sam?
It took me a lot longer than I thought I would. And do you know what's really annoying is that after I'm going to see Sam after this. So I am, for everyone that wants to know, going to kick the fuck out of him.
Do you think he took a lot of joy in making that?
Oh, 100%, yeah. And also, I thought we were the circle of trust, Cece.
Listen, we care about each other. It is a circle of love. Of course it is. But he is also a friend of yours. So he is a friend of yours. And he just wanted to get involved because clearly he misses you that much. So he had to be a part of our show.
Well,
he can't have you all to himself.
But aside from that, if there is something anyone's worrying about, I feel my advice was good.
Yeah, I think your advice is really good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So anyone that is having that trouble, good luck with life.
Pete, that's it. That's it. Here we are. This is, do you need a minute? Are you okay?
I'm great, yeah.
He's great. Pete's great. I love seeing this face inside of you. Pete, thanks for being honest as always.
Thanks for being here.
Pitching you up.
Yeah.
would you like to play us out with a harmony?
I can do. And also just want to say that is 1-0 to you, CC.
Wow, fucking time. Hold on, 1-0.
But you've started something now.
Right, should we just go way back to like when we started 6 months ago and how every single week, just because we didn't have a clip from someone, we didn't need a fucking clip because somehow I got stitched up every single time.
The war is on.
God, here we go.
And I'm excited.
No, because now I'm going to be looking out for it. Every week I'll be like, what feels weird this week? Actually, fuck, our whole show's weird, so.
Yeah, just about, yeah, our show. And today's been an especially weird one that I've really enjoyed. But I enjoy it every time I get to see your face. You know, as I say every week, and I think every week I do this bit where I get very deep. I just miss you and I love you.
I miss you and I love you. And I feel like I feel like we do need to do this daily. I don't like the fact that it's such a long time apart.
No, I don't think everyone else wants to hear us daily. But I think once a week is probably enough for everyone. But for anyone that has been listening, it has been The Dating Show with CC and myself. If you want to send us some genuine stories and questions, so Sam, go fuck yourself. you can email thedatingshow@foobarradio.com, or you can find the home, the HQ, the hub of The Dating Show on Instagram, which is thedating_show. Send us messages, send us whatever you like, send us what you do like, what you don't like, because we like to hear from you.
And also, do you know what? I might actually get a little because I get sent lovely messages on Instagram, like the help that we, well, it makes me laugh because people say you've helped me so much in my relationship. So I'm going to start sharing some of these messages because they are really, really lovely, and they go into so much detail about what we might just think is a pass or throwaway comment, but it seems that we're helping the public.
Well, I feel like you probably are. I feel like I'm probably not, because I don't get any of these messages.
Without you, there would be no me. So this is a joint thing.
Do you know what it is, Cece? Is you complete me.
You complete me. I wouldn't you be able to do this alone.
Do you know what we're like? You remember like when you were a kid and you get like them little like heart necklaces and they break and one
yeah.
person has one bit and the other people, but it's not whole until you get together.
So we need to get some type of jewelry or something.
I think we should, yeah.
You wear rings, I wear rings. Maybe we can get a ring.
I think we should. Should
signifies.
We? If anyone's listening that makes jewelry, CC,
get in touch.
Yeah, we need something. But yeah, that's it for this week.
That's it. It's gone a bit quick. Don't like it.
It has. So should we
sing?
Should we sing?
Yeah. Do you want a choice of song or just words?
Should we have a choice of song?
Yeah, I'm
what's
trying to think
of like
a goodbye song.
A sad, yeah. What's it like a sad leaving one?
I let's just make it up because I can't think of one.
Okay, all right. Okay, do you want to start us off? So you do a bit and I'll add to it, and we can do, you know, like you do that story thing. There once was a dog and then you go and went to the shop.
Oh, I love that game. Okay, ready?
We'll do it.
In song. Okay.
It's time to go.
We say goodbye.
Au revoir.
Ciao for now.
Auf Wiedersehen.
I can't think of any more in a different language.
So we'll just do it together in the English language. Goodbye.
Bye. Namaste.
I think that was really good and one of our best.
I do feel like this is why we're single as well.
Oh, so do I.